Welcome to the Child Free Wealth Podcast, hosted by Bree and Dr. J, certified financial planner. Here we discuss life and finances as it relates to being child free. This podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Please consult your advisor before implementing any ideas heard on this podcast. Hey everyone, today we have a special guest on the podcast here to talk all about what it means to leave a legacy when you don't have children. Katyra Poland is a poet, keynote speaker, and author of the new book, Legacy Beyond Offspring. Katyra, welcome to the podcast, and can you tell the listeners more about you?
Yes, thank you for having me, Bree. I appreciate it. Hello everyone, my name is Katyra Poland. I am the founder and CEO of Love for Words, and I provide editing services to self-published and hybrid published authors. I'm also an author myself, and of course, working on my upcoming book, Legacy Beyond Offspring. And I'm just honored to be able to work with authors and see their books come to fruition, and also excited for my own author journey. Thank you again for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Most of your time is spent more like writing and working with authors, and then Legacy Beyond Offspring, that's kind of a newer thing you're working on.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time in my business editing, of course, but I am working on my upcoming project, Legacy Beyond Offspring. I am exploring different ways that people who are child-free can leave a legacy. There's lots of conversations and concern for those of us who don't have children about how we can leave a legacy, even though we don't have children. So I end up outlining some different ways that we can do that. For example, I founded the National Black Authors Day. So that's one way, you know, you can start a day that obviously will live on forever beyond your lifetime to leave your legacy. Another example of that is also books will outlive you. That's another way you can leave a legacy for, you know, listeners who are child-free, either by choice or otherwise. You shouldn't be worried that you can't leave a legacy just because you don't have children. And what really inspired me to write this book was just my own experience, but also the stories of others who are sometimes shamed because they don't have children, who are viewed differently or less than because they choose not to be parents. And then also spotlight those who want to be parents but don't have that opportunity for medical reasons, health reasons, etc. I wanted to create a book that inspires people and encourages them and reminds them that legacy is not just through bloodline or reproduction, but there are other ways you can leave a legacy if you don't have children.
Yeah. And I like how you said, you know, legacy doesn't have to be bloodline or children. And that's one of the things I think it'd be really hard for people to grasp is you can leave a legacy, but it doesn't have to be kids. And people get really, really hung up on the idea that it has to be children. How did you kind of come to this conclusion and then decide, hey, I want to write a book about it, you know, and have the titles saying like, no, it doesn't have to be children. I mean, Legacy Beyond Offspring is clearly saying doesn't involve children.
Right. So again, it was just kind of based on my life trajectory. At this point, I don't have children. I may or may not have them. It's never been like a definite, absolutely, I want kids for me. For the bulk of my life, I said I didn't want them. But of course, I'm entitled to change my mind. But at this point, I am child free. So it was really just based on my experience and seeing that even though I don't have children, there are many ways that I'm leaving a legacy with, like creating a holiday and writing books and hosting events. These are things that people will be talking about, again, beyond my lifetime. These are things that people talk about, not just here in Rochester, New York, but across the country. These are things that, you know, I wrote my first book back in 2017, and I still have people approaching me, you know, wanting me to deliver workshops and webinars based on my book, a workbook that goes along with Professionalism, What's That?, which is my first book. The legacy and the impact is still there. You know, it's circulated in libraries. Again, these things have nothing to do with me being a mother or having children. And the other thing in the legacy opportunities that are featured in the book also apply to those who do have children. So you can have a child and write a book and start a holiday and et cetera. It's not to ostracize parents, but I just wanted to create something specifically for those who are child-free. I decided to do that just to encourage others who, again, may not get support because they don't have children, may feel worried about the impact they can have because they don't have children. So I wanted to create this resource as a source of encouragement, empowerment, and knowledge.
With that, was there like a specific event or something that just really sparked like, oh, I need to leave a legacy and start figuring out what that was? If it's too personal, you don't have to answer that. But I understand that it's not having children, but I want to know, was there something specific? Like, sometimes we just have those things in life that go, oh, light bulb, we want to start working on this. Did you have that?
I don't think there was a light bulb moment for me. It was just something that I generally thought about. I knew that I wanted to write another book, and I knew I wanted it to be personal to me. I guess that would be the motivation, that something that is important to me is something that I wanted to, you know, share with the world, and something that I knew a lot of other people could relate to. That's why I chose to write the book and tell the story and tell my story, provide information and, again, encouragement. So there wasn't one specific reason or specific spark throughout life that really pushed me to write the book. What I will say is, on the journey, I did have, I hosted a focus group where I brought in other people who were child-free. That sparked a lot of reaffirming that just because I don't have children, that I can also leave a legacy, but also shows that other people are in the same space. There were people involved who couldn't have children for medical reasons. There were people who didn't have children because they hadn't found the right partner. There were people who want children, just not yet. So it just shows the different elements of being child-free, and that it's not just a monolithic experience. There's many reasons why people don't have children. Hearing from them inspired me, and I plan to incorporate some of their feedback and their perspective into the book. And I obviously acknowledge them for their contributions as well. But again, just knowing, you know, I'm not alone, and, you know, reassuring others that they're not alone in the experience, and not, you can connect with other people who are in a similar space.
The focus group, I'd love to hear more about that. How did you decide? Was that like you knew you wanted to do a focus group for the book, or did you do the focus group and then the book came along? Tell me more.
Yes, I started writing the book. And again, most of the suggestions are based on things that I have done. But I know that I'm just one person, and I'm sure there are other ways that I maybe have it embarked on. So I wanted to pull in others to get their perspective, and also just a space of camaraderie, comfort, and support for us to talk about this very important and sometimes very personal issue. So it was a very intimate group of, I think there was like 8 or 9 of us. Two ladies joined us on Zoom. So it was a very small group, and people were sharing very personal experiences that maybe otherwise they wouldn't share. The book came first and then the focus group. But I just wanted to be in a space to talk about, you know, something that was heavy on my mind, and I know that it's very important to other people. And sometimes we don't get to talk about these things in a safe space. So one of the participants shared that, you know, she opted not to go to Thanksgiving because she knew that family members would be pressuring her about when she was going to have a child. Things like that are not uncommon. I don't think they're like talked about in a public space oftentimes, but that doesn't mean that they shouldn't be talked about. I was able to provide that space for people to talk about why they were child-free and just relate to other people and get that support. There was another person there who chose to be child-free because of her medical history. She had some diagnoses that would make it extremely difficult for her to conceive. So again, it just gives a different perspective to being child-free, in that sometimes there is a stereotype that child-free, especially child-free women, are selfish, or that they are putting their career before having a family, and they shouldn't be doing that. So I just wanted to open up a space where people could share their unique reason for being child-free, and people could recognize again that there are many reasons for it, and we need to debunk some of the myths out there about child-free people.
Yeah. And you said people will talk about things, you know, that they haven't talked about otherwise. Do you find that people will often have like a reason that they're child-free that they're willing to talk about publicly, and then also have another reason they just don't share but will only share in very small groups like this focus group?
Yes, I agree. So there was another participant who she shared that she always knew she didn't want children. And when she thought about having children, she felt dread. I don't think that's something she would probably have shared like in a bigger setting, because again, that comes with judgment. Like, what do you mean you'll be dreadful to be a mother? But because I was able to create the space, you know, a comfortable, intimate space of trust and confidentiality where we're not, you know, tying her identity to her experience, she was, you know, very forthcoming and being honest that thought of motherhood did not appeal to her. So I definitely agree that depending on the setting and environment, people are more or less willing to share. Just like the person who opted not to go to Thanksgiving, she didn't want to have that conversation again about why she was child free because it made her uncomfortable and she felt judged. She shared it in the focus group that that's why she didn't go to, you know, the holiday celebrations, not just this far as being child free, but just in general, people are very selective about what they share, where they share it, who they share it with, and how they share it. So I do agree people decide what they want to say and what they want to keep to themselves. For example, someone might feel that they are not good enough to be a parent. And that's probably less likely to say that out loud when they're in a big group or a small group, because it's kind of like a chip at their self-esteem and confidence and questioning, you know, their personhood, their character. But again, maybe they'd be willing to share it with, you know, one other person if you're having like a dinner or lunch or something like that with a specific individual. Definitely believes the capacity or willingness to share is based on the level of trust and comfort.
Yeah, that's valid. You know, I have my reasons for being child-free that I publicly share. And then I also have reasons that I don't share. I understand that. And for someone to say, you know, that they feel dread, I can relate to that, because while the idea of having a child, moments of it sound fun, but actually having to parent said child, that does sound dreadful to me. I could see how they wouldn't want to share that because they could receive pushback and people could say, well, why would you think that? There are all these fun moments. Yeah, there might be fun moments sprinkled in there. Waking up in the middle of the night, you know, multiple times for how many years doesn't sound fun or appealing.
I was going to say it's a very big responsibility. I would say that's part of my reason for being child-free. You have a child, it's a lifelong commitment. Like you said, there are elements that I don't want to deal with, at least not at this point. For me, one of my big reasons is being a Black person in America and dealing with the racism in this country. I am very anxious to bring a child into this world, knowing all that he or she will be dealing with as a Black person in America. It doesn't appeal to me to want to bring someone into something like that, something so brash and painful, and not have her, you know, there's no solution to that. So I can tell them this may happen, or this is what I went through, or this is what people may think of you and label you as because you're Black, but there's really no solution. No matter what I tell them, I can't control how other people perceive them or treat them. And sometimes I just think about specifically police brutality and the mothers of Black sons mothers and fathers and families of Black sons who have the conversation about how do you conduct yourself if you're approached by law enforcement. And even with that conversation, they may become a victim to police brutality no matter how they conduct themselves. For me, that's really a big reason why I'm hesitant to bring children into the world.
Yeah, and that's valid. I mean, that is something where you can only control what you do and you can tell people, but you can't control the other people, and that makes it very hard. I have the same thing with being LGBTQ+. Like, I don't think it would be safe to take a child back to where I grew up with them having two moms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, people can sit here and say, oh, well, it's not that bad anymore. But at the end of the day, I'm sure you have the same experiences where, like, you know, trust has been broken. And once trust is broken, it is very hard to rebuild.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The pushback on that, I think it is very gross when people will push back against those reasons, because you're clearly stating, I am worried for safety and just, yeah, worried for their safety. So opting out is what you've decided to do. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, for sure. We all have our right to choose. So it's tough when people try to make you feel bad about your life decisions.
Yeah. And it's not right for somebody to do that. What advice would you give to somebody in the same situation where they have those reasons and they've been really feeling that pushback? What advice would you tell them?
I would encourage you not to spend a whole lot of time and energy trying to defend yourself. You know, you can share your reason, listen to their pushback, but don't let it drive you to the point of like exhaustion or like shame. And it can be easier said than done. But again, connecting with other people who can relate, you know, listening to podcasts like this and connecting with people like Bree and Child Free organizations and companies or programs or events where you're going to be in a space where people understand or at least appreciate and value what you have to say and your reasoning. So I would highly encourage that in knowing yourself and being confident in your decision and knowing what's best for you, despite any opposition you may have from, you know, other people. Just being sure about your decision, that it's fully your decision and you're 100% comfortable with it, knowing you don't have to change your mind to appease other people.
Yeah, that's a good point there, because pressure to change your mind because of other people can seep into so many things. But having a child, that is a permanent decision that you have made.
Right. I often think about the people who did not want children, but have them for whatever reason and have resentment. And that is, I can imagine, will be a terrible experience, not only for the parent, but the child, to know that you are the child to you're the child of a parent who didn't want you, whether they explicitly say it or it's implied, because we all know that you have feelings that don't just come out of words. So your mom might not tell you she never wanted children, but maybe she's not around. She's constantly, you know, dropping you off at somebody else's house. You don't see her that often. When you are with her, she's not engaging in conversation with you. You know, you have the bare minimum. There's no affection. There's no love, et cetera, et cetera. I often think about those scenarios and how detrimental that is to, again, like I said, not only the parent, but the child. And there are people who have experienced that, and that's their reason for not having children. You know, I was the child of a mom who didn't want me, and I don't want to make that same mistake. So I think it's best that I not have children. Or, you know, again, there's many different reasons that often comes to mind about people who compromise and they have children, and then the implication or the impact that has on the family once that person decides to go against their original decision.
And tying back in with your book, I think sometimes it can be people will want that for you to have children because they're afraid you're not going to have a legacy. I mean, your entire work is saying, no, you don't have to have children to have a legacy. What are some challenges people face when they're trying to grapple with this decision and they're saying, I do want to be child free, but I'm worried I'm not going to have a legacy and people keep pressuring me that I need to have one?
I mean, the first thing I would do is figure out what you're passionate about. So for me, literacy is really a big part of my life. Obviously, as an editor and author, helping to coach, you know, self-published and hybrid authors. And so for me, you know, like I started a scholarship, a literacy scholarship specifically for students to help them paying for classes or buying or notebooks or taking a course on writing or editing, et cetera. So that's going to be the first step, is figuring out what you're passionate about. And then you can dive into other ways that you can leave a legacy. Having a podcast is a legacy that will extend beyond your lifetime. There are episodes I recorded back in 2020 that people still message me about. That was 4 years ago now. There are many ways that you can leave your legacy. It's just a matter of figuring out what your passions are and then diving into what options you have. You know, like I said, events, you can plan an annual event or monthly event or et cetera. And those are things that people will talk about, which continues your legacies. Yeah. So that's what I recommend, figuring out what you're passionate about and then deciding what options you have, what you can produce for the world that will be here once you're gone.
Yeah. And to jump off of that too, you know, in marketing, that's my background, but we often talk about too many options can lead to analysis paralysis. Have you witnessed that with talking with people and going through this work? They have all these ideas, but there's so many they don't know what to do and they are scared to start.
Yeah. So as far as working with authors, yes, a lot of first time authors come to me and they are just so overwhelmed. They don't know how to find a publisher or how to, find an illustrator. And, you know, they oftentimes just don't do anything because they don't know what to do. And personally speaking, I've been there before as well. I might want to pursue a project or do XYZ, but I'm so overwhelmed with all that I could do and all that I should do that I just don't do anything at all, because it's just easier to sit still than to try to put things together and come up with a plan and connect and get the resources and people that you need together. I mean, it's part of life, but yes, I do work with clients who encounter that, and I just give them referrals so that they do have people to reach out to. So I might connect them with a hybrid publisher or an illustrator. Obviously, I'm an editor, so I'll help them with the editing piece, you know, giving them referrals and also giving them like one task at a time. So like, yes, you're going to need a publisher and illustrator, but you don't need that right now. Right now, we're going to do your editing. And then when we're done, we will move on to the next step. You know, time management is very important across all industries, not just editing and writing. But yeah, analysis paralysis is a real thing. There are ways you can overcome it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it stems from, you know, being afraid to make the wrong decision. And it's like, it's okay. You can always change your mind. And you mentioned giving people one task at a time. We do the same thing with the 8 and 0 baby steps. You know, we're working on one step at a time. And people will often say, well, I want to do this. I'm like, we're not there yet. We need to just start with one, then we move on. But start with one spot and then keep going. You're deciding between, you know, multiple different ways to create a legacy, whether it be like creating the scholarship you talked about or something else. How do you kind of pick? Do you have any advice for people on just what to pick, or what does that look like?
Again, I think it all ties back to what your passions are. But also your capacities. The scholarship is, I would say that's pretty low committal. There's an application and then I take a look at the applications and choose a winner. And that's once a year. So it doesn't require a whole lot of time and energy on my part. But something like the Writer's Paradise event is a bit more extensive. It's a biannual event, but preparing for it can be intense. Finding the speakers, reviewing their presentations, booking the venue, paying for caterer, getting the gifts or the giveaways, things like that. I enjoy event planning. It's not very taxing for me. So again, you have to figure out what works for your capacity and what you enjoy. So you might enjoy it, but if you have like a full-time job and you have a lot of other commitments, you might not be able to carry a monthly workshop. So you might have to make that once a year or something like that. It's really marrying, again, what you're passionate about with what you have the capacity. And oftentimes you can combine it. The National Black Authors Day, I host an event. I'm releasing my book on that day. So that ties in, you know, writing. And then like with the Writer's Paradise Forum, which is really for Black authors and writers, at that event, I honor the scholarship winners. So there's ways to combine things as well that kind of make it less taxing for you and might lessen the load. So you could always consider that as well. You can combine things, or virtual might be better than in person based on your capacity. So again, you just have to do a self-inventory. What works for you? What doesn't? What do you have time for? And what you're most passionate about?
Yeah, I like the self-inventory in there because I think that's really important. We often think we have the capacity to do a lot more things than we truly do. That's wonderful. So May 4th, the book is coming out. And if there's like one piece of advice you want to leave everybody with, or one kind of theme you want to share, what would that be?
I would say embrace it or change it. That's one of my favorite quotes. So either you're going to embrace where you are, or you're going to do something to change it if you don't like it. So for those of you who are maybe going through something that is unpleasant or uncomfortable, just know that you have the power to change it. And if you choose not to change it, then it's something that you're going to have to embrace and deal with.
I love that. Embrace it or change it. That's really neat. Wonderful. Thank you. Before you leave, I just want you to plug yourself, share where people can find you, where to look for you, where to reach out to you.
For sure. Yes. Thank you. So you can follow me on social media. I do have a LinkedIn page, Katyra Poland, CatyraPoland. I also have a business page on LinkedIn. I would love four words. That's the word F-O-R. I have a Facebook page, Love Four Words as well. And you can find me on Instagram as well, Katyra Poland. So you're welcome to follow me there. If you're interested in editing, you can go to my website, love4words.com. Sign up for a free consultation. You can tune into my podcast, Editor Knows Best. You can find all my contact info right on my website.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a rating or review. We'd love to keep the conversation going. Follow Child Free Wealth on social media or email us at podcast@childfreewealth.com. If you're interested in working together, learn more by visiting our website, www.childfreewealth.com. We'll see you next time.